The very thing you're longing for, the thing you think that your sinful stuff is going to get you pleasure or happiness, they're not going to serve that. But I will bless you. I will restore blessing.
From the book of Hosea, Pastor Brett Metter marvels at the power of redemption.
That's what this whole book is about. It's a powerful allegory or story of what God wants to do, not only for the Jews, yes, for Israel, and he has done that, but also for you and me, that whoever believes in me will not perish but have everlasting life.
The book of Hosea illustrates God's amazing grace toward his unfaithful people. Pastor Brett Metter notes it's a story of the Lord turning the valley of trouble into a doorway of hope for his people, the Israelites, by offering restored blessings, revived hope, and renewed songs. But in today's word, we'll discover the same is promised to all those who humbly seek him today.
What does God look like? You know, it's funny how the Bible doesn't really tell us much about his appearance in a lot of ways when you think about it, just that he's very bright and light. The descriptions are fairly limited, really. And even, you know, we know that no man can see God and live, so that's part of the problem. But the Bible does spend more time talking about what God feels and how he thinks. We almost know more about the inner part of God than the exterior physical, you know, look of God. The Bible takes great care to show us that. And we have in a book here with Hosea, a book that will tell us the heart of a loving God. And it's gonna be first heartbreaking, but then it's gonna be heartwarming. And we're gonna see that here in Hosea. Hosea paints a picture for us, the book of Hosea, of just this loving, redemptive God. And I hope we can see this amazing picture as we study the book of Hosea. You know, as it turns out, although we, you know, have this book of Hosea to learn about God, we're going to learn how deeply God feels when we sin against him, when we walk away from him or backslide away from him, as we say, you know, backslide means to walk away from the Lord. What does that do to the Lord? And when we turn and sin against him, how's that going to be shown? The prophet Hosea is going to be given a task. When the Lord says, Hosea, I want you to go downtown where all the prostitutes are, and I want you to choose one of the prostitutes for a wife. And Hosea is going to go down and pick a prostitute, her name, Gomer. And things start out great. You know, they're married and Gomer has, you know, three children and there seem to be a happy family, right up until Gomer goes back out and becomes a prostitute again. And Hosea had to sort of see the shame of it all. And it was painful for him. And the story is going to go where he will take her back. Even though she's prostituted herself, he'll take her back again and again, but then she'd go back out to sin against her husband and sin against the Lord. But the Lord would say, Hosea, this is gonna be an illustration. An illustration of what? Well, as it turns out, in the Old Testament, the Jews, the children of Israel, are compared to, or sort of a picture of, the wife of God, of Jehovah. Now, you guys know, if you've, you know, been reading your Bible in the New Testament church, we're not the wife of God. We're called the bride of Christ. It's a little different delineation for the New Testament church. But the Old Testament Jews were called the wife of God. And so Hosea is being pictured as God, whereas Gomer the prostitute is the picture of Israel. And this idea of her leaving and prostituting is like when Israel went away to other gods and worshiped Baal and Chemosh and Moloch and all these other pagan deities. And the Lord's saying, you have committed adultery, Israel. You've harloted yourself, prostituted yourself against me. And here in Hosea chapter 2, what we see is we see this prostitute, Gomer. She's out sleeping with other men and doing her thing. And poor Hosea's the husband that's been, you know, cheated on. But what we're about to read here is where the Lord says, I still care about Gomer, even as Hosea still cares for Gomer. But she doesn't deserve love or kindness because she's the one who's wronged everyone. But the Lord says these words that I find very important. Hosea chapter 2, verse 14. It says, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Now the word allure here, you have to almost use a different word, because in modern English, the word allure has a little bit of a negative connotation. In this context, the original Hebrew language, it's nothing but, you'd almost call it like a compassionate wooing of her back to himself. To woo her back from where? From her prostitution, back to be Hosea's wife. So that's the first thing. The Lord says, I want to allure her and bring her out in the wilderness and then speak comfortably under her. We'll talk about what that means in a second. And then the Lord says, I'll bring her to the Valley of Achor, which is a place of utter ruin, place of trouble. That's where she finds herself, in a place of trouble because of her own sinfulness. But the Lord says, I will bring her to the Valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there. What's this all about? Well, this is what the Lord wants to do, not only to Israel, the Jews, he wants to bring her back out of her sinful debauchery, Hosea and Gomer, but he also wants to do that with us. What does that look like? Well, it looks like this. Number one, three things if you're jotting them down. Number one, restored blessings. Restored blessings. What does he want to do? He wants to take and restore the things that have been ripped off. When you and I sin, man, the devil wants to rob you and rip you off. He promises big but delivers little. We see this sort of illustrated. The Lord says here, if you read in verse 15, I will give her vineyards from thence. Look what she was saying earlier in verse 12. It says, I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. Huh? Gomer thought that all of her lovers, all the men that she would go and sleep with around town, were gonna somehow provide sustenance and wealth, that she would get a vine and a fig tree from these guys. And the Lord's saying, no, your vine and your fig tree from your lovers, they're gonna be eaten by the beast. It's gonna be emptiness. You're gonna be lacking. But the Lord says, but I wanna restore to you the true vineyard. So while you're getting ripped off by your own sinfulness, he says, I want to plant for you and give you, verse 15, I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of trouble, Achor, for a door of hope. I love that, restored blessing. The Lord wanted to not only do this for Gomer, he wanted to do this for Israel. Israel sinned against the Lord and adulterated their relationship, but the Lord says, man, I will bring you back and I will bless you. The very thing you're longing for, the thing you think that your sinful stuff is gonna get you pleasure or happiness or sustenance, they're not gonna serve that, but I will bless you. I will restore blessing. It really reminds me of what Prophet Joel says. Do you remember what Joel said? He said, I will restore unto you the years the, what? Locusts have eaten. Locusts in the Bible are kind of a type of, you know, demonic, powerful entities that are eating up everything that's fruitful in your life. A swarm of locusts would go through that region of the world and wipe everything out. And that's what happens when we sin. It wipes our own lives out. We end up in trouble in the Valley of Achor, and the locusts have eaten it all up. The Lord says, I will restore unto you the years the locusts have eaten. And here the Lord says, you want your little vine and your little fig tree from the world? It's not gonna happen, but I will give to you a vineyard. You know what I love about the vineyard is, a vineyard, by the way, was a luxury item. It was not something that, you know, just anybody had. A vineyard is something that was kind of over the top blessing. He didn't say, I will give you bread and water to sustain life, or I'll give you a bologna sandwich. Didn't say that. He said, I will give you a vineyard. That's the Lord being gracious. Mercy is to forgive. Gracious is giving someone something they don't deserve over and beyond blessing. The Lord says to about Gomer and about Israel, I'll not only take care of you, I will give you a vineyard, restored blessing. I love that. By the way, this if you read this verse 14 in the English Standard Version, it says, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly unto her. That's when the King James says, you know, speak comfortably under her. That's the idea, is speaking tenderly. He goes to Gomer and doesn't scream at her. He doesn't, you know, yell at her or any of that. He just says, I will speak tenderly, but I will allure. And again, you know, wooing back to himself lovingly, tenderly is the idea here. And the Lord says, and I want to bless you. By the way, on this word allure, Charles Haddon Spurgeon there in the 1800s, he was called the Prince of Preachers because he was a great preacher from the 1800s in London. But he did a whole sermon on these two words, allure her. And it's pretty powerful, but let me read to you a little snippet of his sermon from the 1800s. He said, this is a singular kind of power. I will allure her. Not I will drag her or I will force her. No, I will allure her. It is a very remarkable word, and it teaches us that the allurement of love surpasses in power all other forces. That's how the devil ruins us. He tempts us with honeyed words, sweet utterances, with the baits of pleasure and the like. And the Lord in mercy determines that in all truthfulness, he will outbid the devil and he will win us to himself, which shall be a stronger force of resistance we may offer. This is a wonderfully precious word. I will allure her. And I see that true. I think he's right. That the Lord would say to this grotesque woman who's horrible to her husband and she's prostituting herself. Most people say, what a loser. But the Lord says, I will allure her. That's you and me. We're the prostitute in the story. We're the ones who are being pictured here when we walk away from the Lord and when we sin against the Lord. And the Lord says, I will speak tenderly and I'll try to draw you to myself out of your sin. And that's what it means, restored blessing. But that brings us to the second thing, revived hopes. Revived hopes. You know, it's interesting. The older we get and the more life we live, have you ever noticed how your hope diminishes sometimes? When you're a little kid, you hope that good things will happen and that your life will amount to something of great sustenance and blessing. But the older you get, you know, your dreams are never fully realized and you're no longer singing the happy little tune that you once sang and you're bummed out. And hope starts to be deferred and we start finding ourselves sort of hopeless. Even though we technically have the hope of heaven and we know that, but you know, that's one of the problems. She finds herself because of her sin in the valley of trouble. That's hopeless. The story of Achan, that's hopeless. The valley of Achan, hopeless. But the Lord says here in our text, he says, I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor, valley of trouble, for a door of hope. In other words, right in the midst of your trouble, I'll crack open the door of hope. This is what the Lord does. Man, that's what happens when we get ourselves caught up in sin or when we're even tempted to sin. The Lord says, I will provide the way of escape, the door of hope to get out of that. And we're gonna find in the story of Hosea that Gomer's gonna get many times to repent of her sins and do the right thing. But sadly, she's not gonna do that very often. She's gonna continue to go back to trouble, the valley of trouble. But I love how suddenly we see from the story of Joshua 7, this horrible valley of Achor, a valley of trouble. And in this passage, we start to see the Lord say, you're in that valley of trouble. Guess what I'll do? I'll give you a door of hope in the midst of the valley of trouble. This isn't the first time the valley of Achan is turned around for something good. We also see it in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 10. It says, and Sharon shall be a fold of flocks. And the valley of Achor, a place for the herds to lie down in for my people that have sought me. The Lord is saying, I will use the valley of trouble for a place to have sheep lie down. Speaking of the flock of Israel, question for you shepherd types. What does a sheep need to lie down? You know, sheep are freaked out little critters. They get skittish and scared, and it takes a lot for a sheep to get to a place where it's truly just lying down. It takes three main things. Food, water, and safety. Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23 is a great book if you're interested. He writes about this, but the idea of the sheep lying down, even the shepherd, Psalm 23, you know, what happens there? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. That's what the Lord does. For a sheep to lie down, what does he need? Well, as it turns out, still waters, green pastures. So here in that kind of imagery, the Lord says, you're the sheep and you're skittish, but I will feed you and I'll water you, but I'll also protect you and you'll lie down in the valley of trouble. I love that the Lord is able to revive our hopes and bring about peace to the sinner who's blown it royally and finds himself in the valley of trouble. The Lord says, I can deal with that. Well, how bad do you have to be? Like, can the Lord take us, even if we're sinners like Gomer, the prostitute? That's what I love about the Bible, is it gives us these illustrations that are pretty over the top. But see, it doesn't just end there with the door of hope in the Valley of Achor, but also in the Valley of Achor, we see her singing new songs. That's number three, and our final point, renewed songs. It says in our text that she'll be there in the Valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth. Don't you love how little kids just go around singing? They're sort of unafraid. Kids, I love kids that run and sing, but the problem is, as you get older and you end up in sin and you end up in the Valley of Achor, you're not singing the happy little tunes that you once sang. The story of Chippy, the little parakeet, a woman got this little parakeet and she loved it because it sang a happy little tune there in the pet store. And as the little bird would chirp, she thought, oh, I want that. So she brought it home, and it was, Chippy was known throughout the store as the most musical little bird. But she didn't know how to clean out the little cage, and it came time to clean, so she thought, I'll get the shop back. So she went out, got the shop back. Oops, Chippy moved, and the vacuum slipped, and up the tube went Chippy. And so she got quickly into the vacuum and found Chippy kind of gyrating in the dust there of the vac. And so she runs over to the sink and takes the bird and runs scalding water on top of it, trying to get it quickly, you know, and then she gets a blow dryer and blow dries it, and then she kind of puts it back in the cage, and the story goes where Chippy just stared off into space and never sang a song ever again. Some of you are like Chippy. You've been through some life. And when you were a child, oh, you sang happy little songs and you had optimism and you looked at, but then as people have wronged you and churches have treated you badly or people have done this or that or the other thing and you're bitter and upset, you're no longer singing a happy little tune. But that's what this picture is. Here's this Gomer the prostitute who's really in a bad place. And the Lord says, I will bring you to the Valley of Trouble where I'll give you the door of hope and you'll sing a new song. You'll sing the songs like you did when you first got out of Egypt. What's that? He's talking about Israel. Now, Israel, when they left Egypt, they were out of slavery. They were saved from Pharaoh's hand. And that's when Moses and the children of Israel, remember after the Red Sea incident, they sang a happy tune. Well, the same thing happens to the person who goes to the Lord and returns from their backsliding and goes through the door of hope. Even though they're in the Valley of Trouble, the Lord says, I will give you a new song. The psalmist talked about this in several places, and you should make note of these. I love Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give thanks unto thee forever. Don't you love that? The Lord says, I will turn your mourning into dancing. Your sackcloth, which was like gunny sack, scratchy material, the Jews would put that on when they were mourning and in total sorrow. He says, I'll take off that sackcloth and I'll put on gladness. That's what the Lord wants to do. Even though we messed everything up with our sinful behavior, the Lord says, I will turn these things around. David, the psalmist, wrote this about his own sinfulness. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Some of us, we've messed up our lives when we find ourselves in the pit, the horrible pit, stuck in the miry clay, but the Lord says he'll pull me out of that and set my feet upon a rock and establish my goings. This is what the Lord wants to do for Gomer, the prostitute. Now what's even more troublesome, Hosea is gonna give her chance after chance to come back, but she's just gonna keep doing it, and she keeps going around the city, and Hosea's ashamed and heartbroken, and the Jews are all seeing this happen openly in front of all of Israel. And finally, we're gonna see Gomer in a place where she's getting older and uglier and messed up, and nobody wants her anymore. She can't even sell her own body. She's in total debt and despair. And like in those days, what they did to the debtor, the person that was unable to provide for themselves, they would sell them on the slave market. So the Lord says, Hosea, I want you to go to town. And Hosea comes in, and there at the slave auction in the center of town, he sees his wife, Gomer the prostitute, and she's being sold in chains, being sold as a slave. And the Lord says, Hosea, I want you to take out your 15 pieces of silver and your bushels of barley. He purchases Gomer back. He buys his own wife off the slave market. And we're gonna see what happens when she comes back and how she'll be received by Hosea the prophet. And the Lord makes Hosea do that because he wants to show Israel his heart for the Jews who were sinful and ridiculous, washed up, has-been, idol-worshiping pagans. And the Lord says, yeah, but I still love them so much that I will, and here's the doctrinal word you should know, redeem, redemption. I'll pay the price to get you out of the slavery of your sin. And that's what this whole book is about. It's a powerful allegory or story of what God wants to do, not only for the Jews, yes, for Israel, and he will do that, and he has done that, but also for you and me. We were bought with a price. We were the prostitute that sold ourselves out to sin, and we were the sinful one who deserved death and hell. But the Lord says, but I loved you so much that I gave my only begotten son, that whoever believes in me will not perish but have everlasting life. That's what redemption is. He bought us. He paid the price for us. And what a beautiful work the Lord has done. And that's one of the things, I think that one of the things that the book of Hosea will do for you and for me as we study it, is we're gonna kind of get a sense of how much the Lord loves us. He loves you so much that while we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us. While we were in the middle of our sin, the Lord hung on the cross knowing every sin that you would ever do. But he still said, but I still love that person. And I don't know how far away you've gone. Are you on the auction block at this point of your life where you're kind of at a place of worthlessness in your own mind? Well, as it turns out, the Lord says, you might think that about yourself, but I love you enough to still send my son and die on the cross for your sins. That's called the gospel. It's the good news. You don't have to be a wretched, miserable sinner. Christ comes and washes you clean. How does he wash you? Well, the Bible says that it's his precious blood that cleanses us. No longer do they have bulls, rams, and goats, but it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all of our sins.
Pastor Brett Metter, illustrating with the prophet Hosea, the unrelenting love God has for the bride of Christ, his church, on today's Word. Right now, I have Pastor Brett with me. You know, it's really amazing, Brett, when you look at this small book in the Old Testament, Hosea. We actually see an example through what God had his prophet Hosea do with his prostitute wife, Gomer, that is really a representation of what Jesus would later do on the cross in redeeming us, right?
Yeah, I mean, Hosea paints this picture that it really pulls on your heart when you read this story, because it's like looking in the mirror. The Bible says that the Word is like a mirror. And I think that one thing that we start to recognize is we're the Gomer in the story. And Gomer starts out as this, if you could even say such a thing, a successful prostitute that the town knew. That's what she did. But it ends where she's in this completely pathetic situation, enslaved, literally enslaved because of her sin. And I think that the Word, that's God's intent, is to let us know that that's where we get. When we sin, we end up in this pathetic situation where we're sold out to our own sin and we're enslaved to that sin. But Hosea, the prophet, just by, you know, in a gracious way, keeps taking her back time and time again. And I think that's the beauty of the book of Hosea, just seeing the beauty of God's redemptive work. You know, Hosea bought his wife back from the slave market. And that's what Jesus did when he paid the price for us on the cross. He purchased us back. It's a beautiful picture.
Yes, and not only a beautiful picture, but something that we can all be hopeful of in having that forgiveness of our sins. Thank you, Pastor Brett. Well, if you've missed any portion of this study, you can find all of his messages online at todaywordradio.com. That's todaywordradio.com. And that's all the time we have. Next time, Pastor Brett will continue to explore how the prophet Hosea reminds us of God's love for his people, and it's a relentless love. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.